no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological, and welcome to our Daily Audio Bible annual holiday. It is the 7th day of July, and this is our long walk, or our short walk, or our walk, or our sit, or our drive. We do this together on this day. It is one of our favorite days. I'm Jill. It's so good to be here with you, and happy long walk day. Cannot wait to see where you all go, where God takes you, where you take God with you, and what happens, the connections made, everything that takes place on this special day. Today we are beginning and ending the book of Jonah. Jonah being one of the prophets in the Old Testament, and maybe you're a church kid and you know this story, but there may be some surprises. Jonah chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is the entire book. And this week we are reading the Christian Standard Bible, Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Jonah got up to flee Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. But the Lord threw a great wind onto the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, "What are you doing, sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let's cast lots. Then we'll know who is to blame for this trouble we're in." So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, who is to blame for this trouble we're in? What is your business, and where are you from? What is your country, and what people are you from?" He answered them, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were seized by a great fear and said to him, "What have you done?" The men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you so that the sea will calm down for us?" For the sea was getting worse and worse. He answered them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you, for I know that I'm to blame for this great storm that is against you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done just as you pleased." Then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men were seized by great fear of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. "I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. When you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me, and I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple.' The water engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. Then you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. As my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach the message that I tell you. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, "In 40 days Nineveh will be demolished." Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. When word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh. By order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish. In the first place, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." The Lord asked, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah left the city and found a place east of it. He made himself a shelter there and sat in its shade to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over Jonah to provide shade for his head, to rescue him from his trouble. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. When dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so much that he almost fainted, and he wanted to die. He said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Then God asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "Yes, it's right," he replied. "I'm angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You cared about the plant, which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. So may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals." We got to talk about some things. Jonah, the story of the man swallowed in the belly of the fish. And if you're a Sunday school kid, like I am, you heard this story, and there was even like a felt. There was a felt situation of like a big whale and Jonah and the boat, and you could take Jonah out of the boat and put him in the whale, all on this felt board. I was a little enamored with the felt board. The point is, the story goes that Jonah disobeyed, got swallowed into the belly of a whale, lived there for 3 days because he disobeyed God. And the whale then spit him out and put him on to dry land. And it's not a wrong detail of the story. It's just one of the points of the story. A fascinating point that is sort of hidden and buried into the story of Jonah is one that we're kind of following the theme of this year so far, and we will continue to follow this theme. So let's break it down just for a second. Jonah, an Israelite, is called by God to go to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. For context, Assyria is modern-day northern Iraq. It is a powerful nation at this point. It is culturally on the map. It is leading. It is powerful. It is plentiful. And in their power, in their wealth, in their plenty, they have become evil, as the Bible says. And so God calls Jonah to go to the capital of Assyria, modern day Iraq, and tell them to preach against their evil. Anybody want to sign up for that? So Jonah does what most of us would do. He actually flees from the Lord, does not go to Nineveh, and he boards a boat to go to Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is believed to be in southern Spain or modern day Turkey. The point is, Tarshish, from where Jonah was a really long boat ride. He was trying to get as far away as he possibly could. I giggle because, boy, do we run as far away as we possibly can to think that we're gonna outrun God? We're gonna hide from God. I just think that's so cute. Okay, then we know the story. The storm whips up. The sailors are freaking out. They're about to go down if something doesn't happen. And they cast lots. And Jonah's lot comes up. He is the one in sin, and they ask him, where are you from and what did you do? The sailors are trying to stop the storm, everything they can think of, and Jonah's fast asleep. So they ask him, where are you from? What did you do? Jonah realizes and tells them, pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you. I know that I'm to blame for this storm that is against you. Jonah admits his sin, his disobedience, his defiance, and the men show mercy to him, and they try to row as fast as they can to get him to land, but the storm is too great. And so he tells them, pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm for you. I am the one that is to blame. They throw him into the sea. The storm stops. The men are seized by the great fear of the Lord. And there they make a sacrifice and a vow before God. This happens. And then Jonah gets swallowed by the whale. And then Jonah, in his distress, crying out to God from the belly of a whale, Jonah cries out to God through this prayer. And there's this one line, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. And then Jonah declares to the Lord he will fulfill the vow that he made. We're still getting up to the point of the story that we so often miss. So Jonah gets the word of the Lord a second time. Go to Nineveh. Do we see the God of justice here? Jonah's disobedience to God. He vowed to God he would go. He runs from God. He is thrown into the water to rescue the men. On the sailors on the boat, he's swallowed up by a whale. He lives in the whale for 3 days. Then do we see the mercy of God? he spit out by the whale onto dry land. And then he says, I will go. And he goes. And as we read this story on this day, Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed. Jonah was having a little long walk of his own. In 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Jonah preached the word that God gave him. The people repented. By way of the king's orders, they repented and turned from their evil. And God relented from the disaster he had threatened them, and he did not do it. Here's where it gets good. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord asks Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" We're not done with the story yet. Jonah leaves the city, makes himself a shelter to watch the city, what would happen to it. The Lord grows a plant over his head to provide him with shade. And I love it, to rescue him from his trouble. And the next day, God sends a worm to attack the plant. And I have to wonder if it's the same worm that's eating my cabbage. God speaks to Jonah in a way that he will understand through this plant growing overnight, providing shelter. And the next day, the plant not surviving the attack of an invader. And God asks Jonah again, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "Yes, it is right. I'm angry enough to die." And God responds in a way to Jonah that we have to sit with in our own hearts. The Lord said, "You cared about the plant, which you did not labor over, and you did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. So may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals?" It is such an honest conversation on Jonah's part and on God's part. Jonah's admission of why he avoided Nineveh by way of Tarshish is one of the most honest, transparent admissions so far in the Bible. All the way back to the garden, "I was naked, so I hid. I knew you would be gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and that you would relent in crushing and destroying them if they repented." Now, maybe these are not the exact words that we've said ourselves, but how many times have we longed for a special place in hell, for the person that has opposed us? How many times do we need someone that got more than we got, that got something that we don't believe they deserved, gets what's coming to them? And it's usually not a good thing. It's usually some sort of harm or affliction. But rarely do we share this with God. It's so much easier to share with someone that will share our viewpoint or agree with us or hate that person for us, because it's good to be validated in our hatred if someone agrees with us. It makes us feel less alone and maybe a little bit more powerful. God is demonstrating his faithfulness at every turn of the Bible so far. We have to note this so that we don't just see him as an angry and jealous God who just likes to hand down wrath and anger and judgment and punishment. He is actually keeping his word. And he sends Jonah to speak his word to the people of Nineveh, who have become a powerful people, culturally ahead of most others. They're the trendsetters in culture and trade, and with being on top, so to speak, with being winning, so to speak, in our own culture. We have a tendency to get arrogant. We have a tendency to get prideful. We have a tendency to get superior. We're right, they're wrong, and we're not afraid to tell everybody else how wrong they are. We're not afraid to speak for God on who is his and who is not. We're not afraid to judge in our self-righteousness. And God is sending the people a message and a chance to repent. And he will relent through their repentance. This message is going to be for every person, Jew, Gentile, by the time we get through the entire Bible, by way of a man named Jesus. This is where we look into our own heart today. What right do we have to withhold God's love from anyone? Anyone who will repent and turn from their ways and come back to surrender their lives, to surrender their hearts to God, who is faithful and just to forgive. Could we be so transparent? Could we be so humble that we can take a look in and consider what we have called, oh no, this is the message of God? Can we look and see maybe we've gotten it wrong? Maybe this is actually hatred. Maybe this is actually opposite of the message of God. Maybe anyone within the sound of our voice who is willing to repent, to stop going in the same direction, surrender their pride, humble themselves, surrender their heart and their life to God. Why should we stay in the way of that? Why should we stand in the way of any person that has wronged us from receiving God's forgiveness and the love that only he could, that would stop us in our tracks and show us mercy, grace, and kindness above our repentance? Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. God, this is a word that should challenge every heart. We have wished your sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, we have wished them death. We have wished them evil. We have wished them what we think they deserve, forgetting that we deserve the same sentence. All have fallen short. All have sinned. And maybe we're not running away halfway across the world to avoid what it is that you're asking us, but we run daily. We run in our fear. We run in our pride from showing the love to those that need your love the most, because we don't think that they deserve what we do not deserve either. Jesus, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. May we surrender our will and our ways so that we may receive the mind of Christ, the heart of God, and the voice and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I ask all of these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. Let's talk about the long walk. It's wow, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful sight to see so many people participate all over the globe. It's so crazy and so beautiful and so crazy at the same time. Post your pictures. Post your little video snippets. Let us see where you went with God today. And it's so beautiful to see the connection of people realizing that listeners are in their own backyard. They had no idea. It happens every year. I just absolutely love it. And to see the beauty in which we are all surrounded. God's creativity, God's creation, God's world. And so you can head to the Daily Audio Bible official Facebook page, Instagram page. And if you have nothing else to do, just post, take a look around, meet a friend. And thank you all so much for joining us and participating in this beautiful Daily Audio Bible holiday. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, Daily Audio Bible, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can utilize the app up at the top right-hand corner. Hit the give icon, and then lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. Or, once again, utilizing that app at the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that little wheel over to chronological, and it will get your call to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I love you all. Truly, transparently, sincerely, humbly, grateful to be here. And I'm grateful to be a part of this beautiful community. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Greetings, my dearly beloved DABC community. This is Phil Mike Upload from California. And I pray that wherever you are, that you are feeling God's blessing, God's hand, whether to comfort you or guide you, or as you celebrate, as you're needing healing, I pray that all that is you're feeling His presence. Father, thank you so much for giving us today, for all the blessings you provide. Lord, I thank you so much for your comfort and your care and your support. Sometimes we don't see it because our life is happening, and it's sometimes very heavy and hard, and sometimes also we don't see it because we are so happy celebrating or living our own lives. So I thank you still. Father, my heart is heavy because after hearing about the passing of Adrienne, his mighty tortoise. And I'm so grateful, Father, for having known her even through the wires, and how such a kind-hearted person she's been, and how she's been so encouraging to each and every one of us. So, Father, I pray that you comfort her family, you comfort her husband, Jim or Tim, you comfort her daughter, Meg, and even as she is just due to give birth, and also her son, that, Father, they see you at work in all this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning, DFC fam. This is Lady of Victory on Thursday, the 3rd of July. This message is from Mrs. Smith, who works with those who are addicted, and she asked for prayer for Virginia, a young lady that is addicted to fentanyl. First of all, Ms. Smith, thank you so much for the work that you do. It's not an easy job. I understand that, to see the heaviness of what drugs does to people and their families. It's a lot. It's a lot. So thank you so much for sacrificing and doing what you do. And thank you for that beautiful song. That was so precious. Thank you for that. But God, we thank you. We honor you because you alone are God. We thank you that we are able to come and bring our cares and petitions to the foot of the cross. And it's there, God, that we can leave it and trust you and know that you are a God who completes. You are a God of completion. You don't leave things half done. We thank you, Lord God, that we can be confident knowing that if you've begun a work in us, you will complete it. And so we thank you, God, that Ms. Smith is strategically placed in this facility, Lord, for the Virginias of the world. And God, because we know that you are a healer, because we know that you, God, can do anything but fail, we're asking, Lord, that this addiction on fentanyl will be arrested in the name of Jesus. We know that you do things quickly, and we know that sometimes you take things in a process. We're asking, God, for a quick deliverance for Virginia, and that you will continue, God, to use Ms. Smith for all of the Virginias of the world, in Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Rebecca calling in from Gothenburg, Sweden. I would like to pray for you, Freddie. I've heard you calling in twice, so this one is for you. So, Jesus, you are our true healer, our true doctor, and you have given us the authority to use your name to heal other people. So right now, I'm declaring and I'm proclaiming Freddie's health is back. He is completely healed right now. His internal organs are back to a normal state. His liver, his kidneys, his lungs, they are back to normal working in a normal way, and Freddie's health is completely restored. Jesus, you know him better than anyone else. You know what he struggles with. You know his emotional wounds. You know what he is going through mentally. And I just lift Freddie up to you, Jesus. I ask that you just shower him with your love, with your hope, with your forgiveness, with your acceptance. And I ask that Freddie can feel your love so much that he can find the strength to move on, to move forward from this situation, and that he is completely healed. In your name, Jesus, I ask that he will meet the right people on this journey right now so that he can be completely healed and restored. In your name, Jesus, I pray and thank you. Amen.